This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:18, Wednesday, the 11th of May, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, before we get into what is Malaysia's long-term interest rate, a quick update on the FBM KLCI, which is barely hanging on to its gains. Currently, it's up 0.09% to 1,556 points. But like I say, later today, Bank Negara will be having their Monetary Policy Committee to determine the overnight policy rate, which is at its all-time low of 1.75%.
So far, the language of the central bank has been tilted towards pro-growth, with little indication that there will be raising rates. However, will inflation continue to remain benign in this country, and will this change the path of rate normalization?
For answers, we have on the line with us Dr. Ray Choi, Head of Economics and Research at Opus Asset Management. Good morning, Ray. Now, what are your expectations today for today's MPC meeting? Will Bank Negara raise rates like many of their peers had done so in the region?
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. Well, I think Bank Negara will intend to maintain policy flexibility, but my baseline expectation is that Bank Negara is actually going to maintain interest rates where they are now. But I believe there should be some shift in language, perhaps a language which actually points towards the end game, which is eventually normalization in Malaysia's interest rates over time. So I think there will be a slight shift in tone, and this has been evidenced by a lot of central banks around the world. But Bank Negara is not going to be overly aggressive like what we have actually seen in the US. But with regards to what's happening around the region, I mean, not everyone has actually been very aggressive on interest rates. A lot of Southeast Asian countries, for example, Thailand, Indonesia, they're actually still on hold on interest rates. Of course, there might be shifts in language, but we have not actually seen any rate hikes by Thailand and Indonesia recently. And China is a barometer for the economies in the region. Mm. And China has actually, in fact, cut interest rates. So over there, they are actually turning less aggressive rather than raising rates.
So do you expect Bank Negara to raise rates at all before the end of this year then?
Well, my baseline expectation is for a rate hike of around 25 basis points by the second half of the year. I think it's more of a signaling device rather than something which is really going to abruptly affect consumer expenditure. So it's actually an important signal, though, to basically, you know, indicate that the direction of interest rates is basically upwards towards normalization over time.
So inflation is at record highs in the US, but the CPI here in Malaysia is forecasted to rise to only 2.4% by the IMF for the next 5 years. Can you help us understand how we managed to feature such a low figure?
Yeah, that's going to be a rather extensive discussion. I'll try to get through it as quickly as I can. I mean, first of all, when we're talking about CPI, there's the concept of your CPI and my CPI, and you know, everyone's perception of CPI is different. There's also perceived CPI and actual CPI, and there's also the idea of CPI versus cost of living. So when we talk about CPI, it's really an exposed average price index. But when we talk about cost of living, it's something that is more intuitively understood. So for example, the poor would be more affected by CPI in this period of time because their CPI rate tends to be a little bit higher, whereas the wealthy segments of society will actually be less affected by the full brunt of CPI. And there's also the concept of urbanized geographical locations where CPI is actually higher than non-urbanized locations. Mm. Then there's also the whole concept of intergenerational CPI. I mean, for example, parents, grandparents, they may actually have much lower levels of CPI simply because of the way they actually spend.
Okay, but I'm just curious, right, then what does this mean for the normalization of interest rates in Malaysia? Will it be then very protracted? And actually, what is our normalized rate?
Well, I would call the normalized interest rate at somewhere around close to 3%. I mean, essentially, when we're talking about the overall long-term growth rate of Malaysia, it's actually much lower than what it actually was in the past. We used to have much higher levels of GDP growth. And I think the other situation that we have to contend with is the fact that, basically, we're actually facing a situation where we actually need to raise interest rates to prevent situations of asset bubbles like what you're seeing in the US. The US is now actually facing a massive housing market asset bubble again. So for Malaysia, since we don't have that same kind of problem, for example, housing prices in Malaysia, they've actually been on decline ever since COVID. And because of that, that has actually helped keep a very major component of the CPI basket actually pretty low. And secondly, we also have subsidized food prices. We have subsidized petrol prices. That's been actually keeping your CPI levels low. So that actually means that, you know, at this point in time, there's actually no need for any aggressive interest rate increases. I mean, and if we're talking about long-term normalized interest rates, when we talk about long-term, I mean, economists usually talk about the 3 to 5 year kind of time frame. And basically, you know, with that, when we're talking about 3 to 5 year time frame, we could always be expecting some other potential downdrafts in the economy. So right now, as you see in 2022, we're facing all kind of, you know, negative and unusual events to growth. For example, the China lockdowns with regards to COVID, as well as the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. So there are some of these unexpected events that are there to actually drag down growth and actually slow down the so-called normalization of interest rates.
And talking about growth, first quarter GDP released likely this Friday. What are your expectations?
Well, the general expectation is that the GDP growth rate should actually exceed 4%. But I think more importantly would be to actually look at some of the leading indicators and the monthly indicators. As you know, the GDP growth rate is a little bit of a lagging indicator. But generally, the expectation is that forward purchasing managers index numbers should be evening out and perhaps some slowing. And this is partly due to the effect of the lockdowns that we're actually seeing in China. So China actually has a pretty major impact on trade in the region. So we've also seen the overall growth conditions slow in the developed countries such as the Europe and US. I mean, yes, growth is still very strong, but that growth rate is actually decelerating in some of the major economies around the world. So I think going forward, we should potentially see perhaps a slightly softer growth conditions as we move forward into the second quarter of the year.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Ray Choi, Head of Economics and Research at Opus Asset Management, telling us to expect softer growth in the second half of the year, driven very much by the slowdown in China and also weakness in the economies of the developed market. But let's switch our attention to corporate results, in particular, Hata Legau, one of the world's largest nitrile glove makers, if not the largest.
Yes, because for the fourth quarter ended March 31st, 2022, Hata Legau posted its first ever quarterly net loss as a result of a provision for the prosperity tax or the Cukai Makmur. And this is despite the rubber glove market or the makers' net profit for the quarter declining by 117% year-on-year to a net loss of 189.7 million ringgit. And the group still declared a third interim dividend of 3.5 cents per share. Revenue dropped 58% year-on-year and 3.7% quarter-on-quarter to 968.7 million ringgit.
Yeah, but if you look at what analysts are expecting in the coming quarters, the expectations is for average selling prices to only bottom in the first quarter of next year. And unfortunately, it is insufficient to pass on the higher costs. So I think that's the negative that we are seeing. Of course, the higher cost is also due to higher import costs. Nitrile costs is to rise 7% to 10% quarter on quarter. There's also been an increase in minimum wage in Malaysia to 1,500 as of 1st of May. And we have also seen in tandem higher electricity and natural gas tariffs also. So at the moment, if you look at the analyst community, it's very evenly divided. There are 8 buys for this name, 8 holds and 6 sells. Consensus target price for this stock is RM4.79. Current share price is at RM4.32. But that's all the corporate news we have for you this morning. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.